Raymond is the Secretary General of the African-Hungarian Union, and can you please interest and introduce our listeners to the activities of your group and the history?
Yeah, the African-Hungarian Union, as you can say, it was an idea that we set up 7 years ago in a so-called, we can call it an African summit, organized by Mr. Balogh Sandor with people of different background, Africans, Hungarians, and other Europeans, just to meet together and think. And at that moment, we found the necessity to set up such organization because there was a need at that present moment to show the world in general, and Hungary in particular, a different face of Africa, not the way it is. It was imported by those who went to Africa for, saying, holidays or just adventurous reasons.
And what are the specific activities that you present this new face of Africa, face to face?
Well, we focus on humanitarian and human rights activities, because Mr. Balogh at that time with his members thought that we will not remain back in the activities towards Africa. And the time came, after all the changes that happened in the country, the time came to show up in the international platform that Hungary also is able to help Africa, not in Africa only, but in Hungary. Because despite the fact that there are Africans, despite the fact that Hungary was never a target country for African immigrants, but there are some who chose Hungary like their second home countries, and they had serious problems in their integration in the country, and help was needed.
What originally brought you to Hungary? Why did you come here?
Well, I came like the others, the majority of those who came here, as a student. At that time, there were agreements between countries that students can gain knowledge, not only in Western countries, but in other countries than Western countries. So, the countries that were under the umbrella of the previous Soviet Union. So, Central Europe, Soviet Union, and so on. So, I came here as a scholarship holder student.
Oh, lucky
that's
you.
The main reason, yeah.
And when did you come and what did you study? What is your expertise?
I came exactly in 1982. After intensive language studies, I started my university studies at the Technical University of Budapest at that time. So I have a master in electrical engineering.
So you actually are proficient enough in Hungarian to study in the university and get a diploma?
Yeah, that was the main condition to study in Hungary, to study in the language of the country. And we had to.
Tell us what it meant to you as a young man to get such an opportunity to be chosen out of so many to have this possibility in your life.
Yes, we can say it's the result of our studies at in our home countries. In our home countries, the majority of students chosen to study abroad were those having good school result, because we knew that with the level of education in Africa, to study in European or American universities was a challenge. So we were chosen among the best one. So it's not just to show myself, but I can say that, yeah, I was among the exceller in my home country.
So let's move a little bit further back in your life to your family. Where does this spark, this motivation come from to be at the top of your class, to have put yourself in this position to gain such a gift of a European education?
Well, I have my origin from a poor family, and a priest taught me that your future is in the blackboard, because in Africa, the board where we are taught is black. And I remember that teacher told me, your future is the blackboard. And if you want to become somebody, be careful with the blackboard. And I don't know, it was for me like an inspiration. So I have to do all my best to go to God's country. Because for us, white people, they belong to God. So it was my ambition that once I would like to go there. And if it's true, okay, I will do all the teacher advised me to do.
You see, as you travel through the streets and buses in Vilamos of Budapest, so many African students, foreign students from all over the world. How did it feel for your family as they took you to the airplane, was it, to fly here, or a boat? How did you come? And how did your family feel when their son was leaving?
No, it was a... How I can say it? The family was happy to have their son chosen among those who will go far from home to gain the knowledge that will help him participate or contribute directly to the development of the country. Though my parents were very proud of me, and it was something amazing. They were happy. They were happy to see me go and expect me to go, to come back once and help.
And how long have you been now in Hungary?
Well, I've been in Hungary for more than 30 years now. Long time. 30. Because we are in 2013. If I came in 82, almost 30 years.
And you stayed, you've prospered, you have this African Union that you're caring for. Tell me about your personal family.
Well, you mean my nuclear family?
Yeah, your nuclear family.
Yeah.
Here in Budapest.
Yeah, I have a Hungarian wife with two children, a daughter, Mireille, and a son, Anna. My daughter is my second generation. That's the present I gave to the country that educated me. And I do my best to educate, to make educated a lady that also excelled, because she graduated as an engineer in transportation. So my son is a secondary school student, 17 years old. So that's about my nuclear family here.
Often we see in Europe the family where the father is from one country, the mother is from another country, they speak a different language, and they both want to give their children the most of their respective cultures. How do you bridge that between your Hungarian wife, you're from Congo, and how do you put and teach and make the most of your different cultures, your different languages?
It's a very difficult question. You know, as soon as I came to a country where I chose to live in, so I was busy integrated myself to the country. Of course, integrating, let's say in the case of this country, it's like an assimilation. Sometimes we have to refute or reject certain things that we have to be accepted, because you cannot do certain things that is your pride in your home country, you know, the value of your culture, because you become like a strange that is not needed. So we had to, our adaptation happened the way that we try to assimilate ourselves to Hungarians by sometimes forgetting our own values. It was probably a need, we can say, because the integration is different in this part of the world like somewhere else.
Can you give an example?
Well, there are habits and customs that we have in Africa that we cannot apply in Hungary, because when you try, even, for example, in children education, they say, hey, you are in Europe, you are not at home, so you have to do things the way it is in Europe, because children, they have their rights, they have everything that protects them, and you cannot educate your children, you cannot give certain values to your children the way it is in our cultures. I will give you just the example of the way it is in Muslim countries. There are some values, we can call that values, traditions that are not accepted in the European countries. As far as you are in the countries, you have to do things the way it is done in these countries. If you make that difference, at that moment you can be isolated. So if you want to be accepted, you have to do like them.
Could you give us a little insight into the global context of what's happening in Africa today, what's happening to Africans in Europe today, and what's happening in the world today? So we spoke earlier about it's one world, we all live on this planet.
Yes, yes. We speak about globalization, a world where everybody will feel good, and well, without frontier. In French we say sans frontier, without border. But I've been in Europe for a long time, and I have a sad experience of this so-called globalization. Okay, because the globalization, we are not really experiencing efforts that being done so that the African continent can develop at the speed of the other part of the world, despite the fact that they have all that is needed for their development. It looks like something that is directly, superficially kept that way. Just look at brains that are everywhere in Europe, America, Asia, that Africa need. But somehow, there is nothing motivating them to go back to their home countries and intensively help for the development of the continent. They can do that, but somehow there is something missing.
It doesn't draw them back to their countries.
Yes. Because of the systems that were made in those African countries the way it is now, because it is benefiting the interest of big powers. It's sad to say so, but that's the reality.
So you made the choice as a young, educated man with a diploma in your hand in Hungary from the Technical University, the world-famous Technical University, to stay in Hungary. What were the circumstances in that point of your life that made you choose to stay here?
That was not my intention to stay here. I was proud, like all young people, to come to study and go back home and excel home and help, because the country needs us. But unfortunately, there was a civil war situation in my home country, a civil war that was caused by outsider, because of, you know, it's something that everybody knows, that the government in those countries in Africa in general, they are not really democratically elected by their people. They are people who are put there to serve the interest of the outsider, not the interest of their own people in Africa. We have all the example, because I can give proof that that's one of the reasons. There was a war in my home country, and the government unable to send our ticket to go back home, and also the situation wasn't that safe to go home at that time. We didn't have another solution at that moment, or to move Western, or to stay in the countries that gave you the education. For me, since I had my wife in this country, and I liked the country, frankly to say, and I said, doesn't matter, Hungary will be my second home country. And I stayed in Hungary, but it was not easy as a foreigner to have, despite my education, my diploma, all I had, same university like them, to find a job. But I did my best to make a living, and I am in the country. I gave a second generation. But my heart is still in my home country. That's why I thought that the African Hungarian Union is a good place for me. It's a good place for me because the African Hungarian Union, in his humanitarian activities, we are all playing fighting to help the continent. Different African countries where they are happy to receive or to accept our donation. So that's the way now, through my organization, I can contribute to, even if we can say not that much, but very important, help to the country.
What are some of the specific volunteer missions that you have? I see medical and educational.
Yeah, we have Medicine Sans Frontières, Hungary. You probably heard about Doctors Without Borders, yeah? In Hungary, we had 6 medical missions to different African countries where we organized Hungarians, doctors, volunteers. We help with the everything, see logistics and things. And they went to Africa for a long period of time, free. We didn't go through government. We went to meet people directly because we know that when the donations are done between government, generally the people in need don't receive the donation. That's why we choose ourselves to go on the terrain despite the difficulties. And our doctors, they help, they treat peoples on this part of the countries. We brought money for those who were in need of money. So I can name lots. In Congo Kinshasa, for example, we contributed to the building of schools for children so that they can gain even the basics of education.
What are some of the other countries? Because often
we have, we can say Congo, Uganda, Mali, Guinea-Bissau and Guinea-Conakry, Morocco, if you can speak about North Africa, and so on. So these are, we were in Kenya as well. Now we are helping children in Ethiopia. So many countries in Africa where the African Hungarian Union is really physically, financially, materially really helping. It's a small country with very less means, but we are fighting on the African terrains with what we have to help those people directly who are in need.
In the two main activities of working in human rights and AIDS, can you tell us a little more about that?
Yes. We have, for example, in Hungary, those who came through the green border, how it is called, you know, with the refugee status, you know, after the refugee camps, when they gain a so-called authorization to locate in the countries, with the difficulties that we meet in the country, you know, mainly in a country like Hungary, if you cannot speak the language of the countries, you are like lost. We help people like that who are in need in their education to pick up the language. There are even people who didn't have accommodations. The African Hungarian Union arranged accommodation for some of those people. Those who had problems in the court or with the authorities, with the immigration authorities. Yes, the African Hungarian Union, when we were touched, when we were called, Yeah. We gave our help. We were there to represent them legally, and lots of things that you cannot imagine what the African Hungarian did for those who are in Hungary, the Africans in Hungary. And we Africans also, in our activities, we have agreement with certain school for free will, they call, because they would like to know about Africa. We give cultural, educational program where we give them realities about Africa. We speak about the continent in their languages. Let them know, yes, we came from, even if it said that we came from the jungle, yeah, we came from the jungle to town. We learn your language, and we can talk to you in your language, no foreigner languages. And we gave them the realities about Africa, because a lot of things have changed, but they always think of Africa like in the 17th century or things like that. And mainly always, they are always taught about the negative face or side of Africa. But we try to show them what is beautiful in Africa. We even tell them, hey, it's a sin to die without seeing Africa. And now even there are tourism to Africa, humanitarian tourism in Africa. Yes, it is organized by some of our fellow here. People go to see with their eyes what really is Africa. Not things that mistakenly sometimes written in books.
In Hungary, over the last years, the growth of volunteerism, of helping others, of giving your time and sometimes your money is growing.
Yeah, it's growing, but we still have a lot to do. As I told you, that the country has its problems itself. Yeah, because sometimes when we go places where they tell us, yeah, here too we have people in need, here too we have poor, and why Africa and things like that. But despite those problems, we have really a growing number of people who feel that yes, this continent needs help, and there are lots of them ready to go and help in Africa.
Most parents wake up in the morning and they go to their work, they do their day's work. An engineer, a teacher, a media specialist, the driver of the tram or the bus. You wake up and you go to work, you do your engineering work, but you also do humanitarian work. You help others. How does that affect your daughter and your son?
Well, they are very affected. The example is my daughter is now in Africa. Yes. She said, Dad, I would like to see. When she went for the first time, she came back home. She said that I feel like my place is there. There are people I can help. I know exactly what I can do there, and for sure I can do that, and they will let me do that. So they are happy to see that in our humanitarian activities, we are preparing a generation that really will join global development, the way it is said. because the global development education is not really spread the way it should be in this part of Europe. There are a lot to do.
So your daughter is a graduate of the Technical University of
Technical Budapest. University, yes.
So how is she using her expertise in her life now?
She started working. She started working in Hungary. Then, as everybody curious, I gave her the chance with the help of my fellow to see, to experience, to discover her 50% roots. Okay, she takes her holidays and went to Africa. Like everybody would like to go to the world to see. But for her, it was important to see, because I always was very sincere, honest, that what's Africa, why it is this and this and this. Go and see and experience yourself. The first time he came, it is that it's impossible. So rich continent, why still in poverty like that? First question. Because he saw the riches that is in Africa. And she didn't understand why Africa is still in poverty in the 21st century. I gave explanations. She felt sorry with me together. And you know, the rest is another topic. We are all, you know, crying, weeping. Why? And when the time will come, so that the real chance or the real changes can happen in that country, in that continent. So people can really live equal the way they are. Because here, people are happy to speak about EU, for example, European Union. You know, it's happy. You take your car here, you can go to France. Nobody will stop you because the Europe is united. But go to Africa. Even the same countries that was divided have strong barrier where even to go to see your neighbors, or not your neighbors, your relatives, is a problem. And these conditions are kept strongly that way. Sometimes we ask why. And when will the end come so that we can move easily and freely in the continent, like it is in Europe? But you can think about that too. Probably you know why. I don't want to stay here because, you know, we are speaking social, not political.
That's another episode. So where does the seed of this wonderful African-Hungarian Union come from? Who was the mind? What was the conditions behind this? Who started this? Where did
the scene was in Mr. Balog village. It's called Serenc. There is a small town. Don't know which part of Hungary. If it's the eastern or western part. The north part of Hungary, so about 200 kilometers from Budapest, about. There is the village or a little town called Szerencs. That was the scene where we held the first little African summit. Really, it was called African Summit. You know, Mr. Balog himself, he studied abroad, and in its environment, he had a lot of African friends, you know, classmates around him. And when he came back home, he thought, no, it's a good thing to continue to keep this kind of environment. And he organized the first African summit in Sarajevo, where, you know, without discrimination, there were diplomats, there were little people, there were big people. We were all together in a big, big party where, during a meeting, people immediately found the need to have an organization where we can deal with Africans' matter an organized way. Not, you know, differently, everybody in his corner. No, an organized way would be better. So it was in Sarajevo, and the idealist was Mr. Balogh Chandor, who gave us the chance to set up this organization.
And who was this Mr. Balogh Chandor? How did you come to know him?
Mr. Balogh Chandor is a Hungarian citizen. Hungarian citizen, businessman at the same time, who had the chance to visit Africa. Exactly in Congo Kinshasa, whilst he was appointed consul of that part of Africa, that country, Congo. He was appointed at that time. Just because of his will, voluntary to help the continent. So I didn't know him before. That was the first time at that summit where I got the invitation that, hey, there is a man organizing something in his village. Come. There is a bus that is driving everybody there. So you don't have to expend anything. Just take your clothes, bag, and come to the Nyugatipaya Udva, you know, the rail station, and there was a big bus waiting for people. So we ate, drank, everything. We get to know other people, we exchanged experience and so on, and that's it.
So as a youth, you excelled academically. You were given the opportunity to come and get a fine European education.
Yes.
You were chosen. Now, why are you the Secretary General of the African-Hungarian Union when there's so many Africans that were probably on that bus, were in Sarajevo with you? What's special about you, Raymond, that you are the chosen one again?
No, we usually say that we cannot serve an organization only at a certain position. Yeah, we are a lot of African in the organization. I was chosen probably because of my activism, you know, because I found my place in the organization and I told myself that I will fight beside Mr. Balogh everywhere when it comes to African issues. And I think the majority, they choose me to be the General Secretary beside the President. But it doesn't mean that I don't professionally, I work as an engineer in a company. So this is not my main activities. This is the plus activities that I do in my spare time, we can say.
You have a microphone in front of you. We have many listeners out there. Could you please tell them what they can do to support what you've been doing your whole life and what Mr. Balogh Chandor has invested a lot of his heart and soul into?
Well, what I can say to our friends, listeners, that at the present moment where finally Hungary became an open country with its global, the opening global policy, I think it's time for everybody to join us and show that Hungary, despite the fact that they don't have a colony background, they can positively play in the African ground because they demonstrated it in the past. Many African leaders at this present moment gain their education, professional education in this country, and amongst them myself. So Hungary has its place in the global world. So you can join us if you feel that you can contribute. We don't ask many, but a little, even a pencil or an aspirin can be important for an African child. So we don't ask money, just what you think that you don't need at this present moment, you will find us. And for sure we can assure you that your donation will find the necessary person in need.
Last thing, your child is in Africa. She's listening. Could you just send your daughter a message?
Mireille, Papa loves you, and courage, okay? I know that in Africa, you are considered white, and when you are in Europe, they considered you black. It doesn't matter. You are the kind of global citizen that the world is waiting for. Go on, help them the way you can.